All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is in the chat tonight. Keeper 1376 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Snarl Barkley's on. Blade Runner's on. Skunk 71 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Robin Aroni is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Beehaven is on. Ian Mark is on. Blade Runner's on. Veronica 18201 is on. Vovo 960 is on. D9597 is on. Nene's wife is on. Snag Dog is on. Let me see here. Drumming for Jesus is on. Guitar Glenn is on. General Plowman is on. Cloyd Shaw is on. Hands Like Donovan is on. Patriot of the North is on. Sheila K is on. DK Jackson is on. Michelle Towell is on. Jim Brody is on. Jersey Dude is on. Chopper Super Nut is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. K4 VMS is on. Levin Carl 11 is on. Richard Perry is on. Let me see here. Spaz 64 is on. Nate Dad 1 already in the rant. Thank you so much. Nate Dad is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Freedom Rings is on. Let's see. Producer Aaron is on. Granite 24 68 is on. Jen 11 Live Free is on. Let me see. Luann 5 is on. Will Gilbert is on. TJ T1 is on. Appreciate you guys. Love you, each and every one of you. Before we ever get to Israel, let me do some miscellaneous stories before we get to Israel so we don't just focus completely and totally on that. I actually only have a short little run on Israel. Hopefully I keep it that way. Just a couple slides. I'm looking here on Israel. I don't know. Three, maybe four. So, I don't know. Three or four slides on Israel. Hopefully I get past all that because I really don't want to talk about Israel all night long again like I have, but I legitimately get bored after Israel. We got election fraud, which is the title of the show, so we ought to get to that, right? Let me get to a quick one on the border real quick. This is Chief Michael W. Banks video. When allowed to enforce the law. Play for me.
New Border Patrol data shows not a single migrant was released into the United States last month in May. Compare that to the more than 62,000 that were released into the country under Joe Biden in May of 2024. Michael Banks is the chief of the U.S. Border Patrol, and he joins us now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chief, this is great news. How are you feeling about this, and what does it mean for our country?
So it's phenomenal. Anybody that cares about national security, you know, knows that under the last administration, we were breaking record numbers of people that were coming into the country illegally and that were being released into the country. And to go from 62,000, over 62,000, down to zero, we're breaking record numbers in the right direction now. We're securing our border. You know, we will not declare victory, but I will tell you we are fast approaching it. We are closer to operational security of the border than we've ever had. 2 days ago, we broke another record. 141 entries at the southwest border. Those entries are all apprehended, and none of them will be released.
So that's the chief of the U.S. Border Patrol. He says at the end there, he's not going to declare victory. You know what? I just say this to Chief Banks. I mean, and this isn't snotty in any way, but how much more victory can you have? I mean, you had zero releases into the country. I'm just wondering what happened to all the Republicans, like Cuckboy Jim Banks, people like that. Not Jim Banks. I just lost his name. Oklahoma Senator... Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I forgot his name. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, James Lankford. James Lankford. So Cuckboy Lankford had Jim Banks stuck. I mean, funny thing is, I never remember Jim Banks' name ever.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
Anyway, it's weird. I always forget his name. But anyway, so he had Cuckboy Lankford. Remember, he had his bipartisan border security bill with him and Chuck Schumer worked on that you had to have. Remember, that was going to just limit it to 5,000 illegal border entries per day. You're like, what do you mean illegal? They were going to allow in 5,000 per day. But always remember that count wasn't going to start until it was 5,000 Canadians or Mexicans. And by that time, there were no Canadians crossing the border and there were no Mexicans counting the border. So there was no 5,000. That was James Cuckboy Lankford's bill. The conservative, pro-life, allegedly, although he's never done a daggum thing about abortion his entire life, Republican out of the state of Oklahoma. And that's the way most Republicans are. They are not adherent to truth. They're not adherent to morality. They're adherent to being reelected and by brown nosing to get reelected. That's all that they are adherent to. And he's one of them. We need comprehensive border reform. Man, I have been hearing that crap since 1990. We can't close the border. Obama says, I can't close the border. Unilaterally. Biden says, I can't do it. Obama says he can't do it. Bush says he can't do it. And that, lo and behold, unilaterally, Trump closes the border in 3 days. And here's the thing that everybody needs to focus on. We may go at Trump hard on Israel, but that doesn't mean that we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It doesn't mean that because, you know, there's like that, I think it's Dave Smith. He's gotten to be a really popular sort of centrist comedian. He's going around and he was real fervently pro-Trump. He's that kind of center leftist, pro-Trump kind of a Elon kind of guy. And now he's just completely turned against Trump. He's called for his impeachment. And Elon did the same thing. You can't do that. If Trump is wrong on Israel, let's say he's wrong on Israel. If he's wrong in Israel and he eliminates Iran's alleged, and I don't even buy into any of that crap. I'm just saying Trump obviously believes and even ran on and has said for 20 years that he would not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. So he said that and he's made that clear. But he also said he was going to be the no new wars president and he wasn't going to buy into everybody noticed the same exact argument that's being put out now to get us into a war with Iran is the exact same one to get us into a war with Iraq, and Trump didn't believe the Iraq one, calls it the biggest travesty in history, but yet is buying into the Iran one. It's the same thing, weapons of mass destruction. They have now tracked Bibi Netanyahu going back to 1984, saying that the Iranians were months away from having a nuclear weapon. Aaron and I tracked it back to 90. Now it's gone back 6 more years where he said they were weeks to a year away from having a nuclear weapon in 1984. Then you pick it up in 1990, said the same thing. 92, same thing. 94, same thing. 96, same thing. 98, same thing. 2000, same thing. 2002, same thing. 2004, same thing. 2006, same thing. 2008, same thing. 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, and now. Same thing. And what is Trump parroting from the Oval Office? We believe they're weeks away. Since 1984, folks, that is 40 years ago. 41 years ago, if my math is right. Am I math right? I think it is. No, yeah. Is it 41? Yeah, 41 years ago. Yep. 41 years ago. 41 years, there have been weeks to a month away. This is a country that can't refuel their airplanes in the air. And they're a grievous threat to the United States, and Trump's saying that they're going to blow up the United States. Now, here, he's wrong. Can we, and those of you that are watching this right now, and you think that he's right, and you're believing all, I'm just saying that's true, you're believing all the same people that wanted us in the Ukraine war, but you're against the Ukraine war, but you're for this one. So now, they are wrong about Ukraine, but right about this one. Same exact people that have pimped and hoarded vaccines, COVID-19, climate change, and everything else now want us in this war. And suddenly, they're wrong about everything else, but right about this. And by the way, Trump was wrong about COVID. He was wrong. Operation Warp Speed, 35 to 36 million excess deaths because of Operation Warp Speed. Does Trump acknowledge that? No. Because do I even think he knows? Not really. But people definitely have told him. He's got email. He's got, you know, big time anti-vaxxers now, which there you go. There's the big credit for Trump. When you put RFK Jr. as your HHS secretary, I mean, pretty big deal. I mean, Marty McCary, I mean, Jay Bhattacharya in high-ranking positions in your administration, that's the greatness of Trump. So just because we disagree on this, and there are going to be some positive things about this, the mullahs are bad. But then when you replace the mullahs, and Trump is going around saying we're trying to get rid of the nuclear threat, and Netanyahu is going around saying we want your regime change. And then Trump will hear Tulsi Gabbard says that they have no ability, that Iran has no ability, has no desire or ability to create a nuclear weapon. And he says, I don't care what she says, but Netanyahu is contradicting him, and he does care what Netanyahu says. I just disagree with him. Just totally disagree with them on this. I mean, but here's the thing. All these people that are lock, stock, and barrel, like I hope I'm getting his name right. Dave Smith, I think is his name. He's the one that was like on Tucker and he's debated some people. He always invites people to debate. Smart guy. Not as smart as he thinks he is.
Yeah,
but he's smart. So, I mean, he's lock, stock, and barrel, turns on Trump. You don't lie. Again, they must never have pastored a church. Because you're going to have to deal with people and not be able to agree with them. I mean, it's funny because people will leave churches all the time. Well, it's because I didn't agree. So now you're going to go to the perfect church. And no, I didn't agree with the pastor. I don't agree. Oh, so now you're going to find that perfect pastor. As you can walk around in your imperfections demanding perfection. Talk about not adhering to Matthew 7:5. Pull the plank out of your own eye. Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So here's the thing. Trump's wrong on this. I think he was 100% wrong. And when they do get what Bibi Netanyahu wants, which is regime change, then who goes in? Because Bibi Netanyahu and all of those guarantees, remember he put out the seven countries. I don't know if I'll remember them all, and I'm the madman over there is probably typing away right now. The seven countries, he put out a list. Seven countries that he wanted us to invade for him. It was Somalia, Libya, Iran, Iraq. That's only four I've gotten so far. What were the other ones? Lebanon, Syria, so I'm six out of seven, and Sudan. So he wanted all of those to go. And he got us to invade every last one of them or overturn every one of them. And now the last one on the list is Iran. And every time the promise was, once that you go in there and you do regime change, it's going to stabilize the whole area. How's that worked? Is the Middle East any more stable now than it's ever been? As a matter of fact, it's arguable that they're less stable now than they've ever been. So the promises from Netanyahu, who is definitively a neocon. So everybody who was against the Ukraine war and all and our interventionism and against even the Iraq war and the Afghanistan war, you're against all that, all of which Netanyahu was in favor of us invading Afghanistan, in favor of us invading Iraq, favor of us invading Syria and Lebanon, and all these regime change wars, bombing the crap out of Libya and all that, getting rid of Gaddafi, all of that, all in favor of that. And all of those that are now in favor of this war, who were against all of that, now Netanyahu's right because Trump's on board. You cannot be a sycophant, an acolyte like that. Just because Trump's on board doesn't make it right. Did everybody see my shirt? See it? That's who you trust. Read what the Bible has to say. You know, everyone gets into all the arguments right now about Israel and the chosen people and all of this stuff. And Jews just refers to Judah, which, by the way, that makes no sense at all. Don't even get into all of that. How you need to look at it is this, is use Bible verses. And I favor Israel. I do. They're a democracy. They are an elected democracy. They're a parliamentary system where only 30% of their citizenry actually supports Netanyahu. And now all the people who are against the Ukraine war support Netanyahu. I mean, I just want everybody to, let's be tribal for just a minute. There were so many of us against the Ukraine war. It's all crap. It's all the neocons. Lindsey Graham wants us in there. Ted Cruz wants us in there. Ted Cruz just gets eviscerated by Tucker Carlson. Has no idea what he's talking about. Just go and kill the Iranians. Who makes up the Iranian population, Ted? Oh, I don't know. How many people live there, Ted? I don't know. What's the demographics? I don't know. Just kill them all. That would mean everyone needs to be thinking about. There's going to be Revelation 20, 11 through 15, a great white throne judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. They're just going to go kill a bunch of people? God does not look fondly upon murdering. Ever read Proverbs 6, 16 through 19? There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Hands that shed innocent blood. We're just going to go drop bombs on the Lao Beijing of Iran because Ted Cruz thinks it's muscular to do so. I mean, again, it's just true, okay? I mean, look at Ted Cruz. He's a little warthog. Right now, you know, he's out there. He's on in that Tucker conversation. I don't even get off on this. See, here I am. Freaking crap.
Do it.
Ted Cruz in the Tucker conversation. You and me, Tucker. We stood against the COVID tyranny. Ted Cruz? T- Ted Cruz was masked the whole time, double vaxxed the whole time, closed down and supported it all, and put out the verbiage, wow, we can open safely. And now all of you are now taking his side on this? Now he's right? You sure you want to do that? Just because Trump thinks it's right? Remember, Trump did the same thing with COVID. Was masked, vaxxed, Operation Warp Speed. You don't just buy into Trump. Oh, Tom's turned against Trump. I turned against Trump. I am for the truth. If Trump's right, I support Trump. Trump has a higher percentage of being right than every other Republican that could run for president right now, in my opinion. So that's why I vote for Trump. Certainly more than Kamala. You know, I mean, and any Democrat. So that's why Trump has my support. Not because, you know, anything Trump does, you know, because Trump does something doesn't make what was wrong right or right wrong. If Trump does something wrong, it's still wrong, even if Trump's doing it, like deficit spending. So please, people need to like just actually judge this thing. And here's the thing. If this turns out to be this utopian thing and next year, Aaron and Will and I are scheduling a vacation to Iran because it's now the hottest spot in the world. And, you know, it's just the greatest place. I'll just come out and say on the podcast, I'll dedicate to an entire show. Every slide will be about me being wrong. Every slide.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong. But I don't believe war hawks. I don't believe neocons. When have they ever been right? Now suddenly they're right? When was Anthony Fauci right? And then all the Christians believed him in 2020. When has he ever been right? The homosexual community / AIDS community hates him because of what he did. And now he's right about COVID? Yeah, he is part of the creation through Gilead of remdesivir, which has a 53% mortality rate. I'm talking about people die of remdesivir at 50%. And that's still the only approved treatment for COVID-19. And then suddenly he's right. It's the same thing here. Bibi Netanyahu has never been right, but now he's right because Trump's supporting it. Everyone needs to remember these things. I mean, again, and then the list back to the positive, look at the border. So you don't throw Trump out because you're against him on one point. I was against him in COVID-19 during the pandemic. I was against a lot of the things that he did, but he was better than everybody else. That's what you do. That's politics. That's relationships. That's what you married. You didn't marry somebody. Go, oh, well, you know what? I found somebody who's absolutely perfect. You married somebody who's better than everybody else, not because they're perfect. They're better than everybody else for you. See what I mean? You don't go, oh, well, you know what? I found out that she has every Monday she has a bad day. She's out. No, that's not what you do. I am still 100% on the Trump train. And I actually believe, I think Trump gets mad. I think he casts people out, but I think he likes to hear people challenge him. I don't think that, you know, you'd have like a necessarily a great relationship with him over time, but I do think he does listen. He listens like every day to InfoWars. And I could tell you, Alex Jones is definitely not in favor of this. And then all of the people who are actually right about COVID, not the Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is the typical, calls himself a Christian, typical Christian who caved to everything, stood 6 feet apart, put a mask on, got vaxxed, closed the churches, closed their business, and advocated for others to do so. And now suddenly they stood against COVID as the Patriot senator. Bunch of liars. I mean, I just can't. If it's me and I just grievously failed, I'd come out and do a podcast. You know what? I grievously failed.
Yeah.
That's what you do. But Trump is killing it on jobs. He is killing it on inflation. Put up the next one for me. Even without this idiot's help right here, Jerome Powell refuses to change interest rates again. Every single economic indicator demands that he lowers interest rates, and our economy, which is already skyrocketing in the positive, would skyrocket even more, but this man refuses to do it because he hates Trump. So he just refuses to do it because he hates Trump. See, that's not how you operate. You operate the way this podcast operates. You go, you know what? I don't like this part about him, but I like this part about him. And then you do what's best for the truth. You do what's best for the country, for the citizenry of this country, not because you either love Donald Trump or you hate Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is killing it on the economy. He's killing it on inflation. I mean, the border is shut. Not one person, not one person was released into the country in the month of May. Everyone realize that number? I mean, this is unheard of. Joe Biden at the height was 15,000 a day. What was last May? Last May, Joe Biden allowed in 62,000 people to cross the border illegally. Last May, Donald Trump, zero. From 62,000 to zero. That's why you don't just throw him out. And I'm not saying any of you would. I don't want you to think that's what I'm doing. I'm against him on this. Are we going to lose this war? No, we're not going to lose this war. Is it going to be protracted? Well, we've always been promised that it wouldn't be. Ask Will if it's protracted, as he was over there living in the sand in Iraq, fighting a war. It's kind of protracted. Everyone thinks it's easy. You ever look at the size of Iran? You ever look at it? People need to look at the size of that country. It's got 92 million people living in it, and it's huge. It's not easy. And by the way, you go in there, and everybody thinks things are conquered when they're not. Oh yeah, we thought we had South Vietnam conquered. Oh, I mean, we were occupying. We didn't have to conquer because they were on our side. But you ever heard of the Viet Cong? That was one of the huge parts of the entire war. It's where my dad fought against the Viet Cong, the insurgents inside of South Vietnam. Vietnam was already conquered. It's pretty tough. And then what you end up sending in the wills of the world to go in and fight wars that all these people aren't willing to fight. All right, let's go to the next one. I don't even know where I'm at. Where am I at here?
Eric Dogg, are you breaking?
Oh, okay. Thanks, buddy. All right, on to Israel. But I want it. Well, I put it in the Israel section. President Trump's overnight approval rating was a whopping 56% nationwide. So here I am against it, and his ratings are going up. You know why? Because I still approve of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the greatest president of my lifetime. He's the greatest president of all time if he lowers the debt. Not the deficit, the debt. If he lowers the debt, he's the greatest president of all time. But he's the greatest president, even if I'm against him on Iran. What you don't do is the galactically stupid crap like Elon Musk did. And I love Elon Musk. It's all so sad to see the momentum. And we have to all acknowledge the momentum's not there. Imagine if Elon was still a part of things right now. It'd be so much better. But he burned it to the ground. And Elon burned it to the ground. Trump didn't. Elon did. And sometimes Trump burns it to the ground. But Elon burned it to the ground, calling, saying that he was in the Epstein files. He kept it purposely vague because, of course, Trump's in the Epstein files. Basically, every human being in that orbit, New York, West Palm, Israel, government is in those Epstein files. People who had nothing to do with Epstein are in the Epstein files, and that's what Elon meant. He knows that Donald Trump never diddled any underage chicks. He knows that. He purposely put that into the burn Trump and then called for his impeachment. It's over then. That's not what you do. You don't do what Dave Smith's doing. I'm sorry, I support him, and I want him impeached. Impeached for what high crime and misdemeanor, Dave? I mean, come on. That's not what you do. You don't hear that here. You hear us here at the TLP. We wish that he was Ron Paul geopolitically. That's what we wish, and it's kind of what we were promised, but he also did always say that he wouldn't let Iran have a nuclear bomb. But here's the problem. Okay, you won't let Iran have a nuclear bomb, but in your first administration, you never did any of this. And at that time, remember, Aaron? That time, they were weeks away.
Yeah, of course.
We'll just use that term because that's what Netanyahu has said since 1984. That's not an exaggeration. That's absolutely true. That's what he has said for 41 years. Everyone got that? 41 years they've been weeks away, and now Trump's parroting it? That doesn't make you look smart, and Trump is super smart. I'm just saying it doesn't make you look smart when you start parroting it. It's just like you start to parrot Al Gore statements. That's what you sound like. We got 12 years left. Okay, you know what? That was literally 27 years ago, and we can show you all sorts of slides where you know the ocean has not risen one inch. You can show slides back from the 1800s and various structures around the world, and they'll show you high tide and low tide exactly the same. Exactly the same for 200 years. Not one thing. But you end up sounding like that. Weeks away, 15 days to flatten the curve. Together alone, alone together. Open safely. That's what you sound like. You're nonsensical tripe. Netanyahu's been saying weeks away for forever. But listen, nobody's pulling away from Trump. Nobody is. you basically you have the people like me, people like Alex Jones, people like Tucker Carlson. And I'm not saying I'm on in any way, shape, or form at their level of popularity. I'm just saying you have people like maybe like us, if you're watching, we're still fervently pro-Trump, but we're against this because it's the same old neocon crap. Weapons of mass destruction, weeks away. Let me ask you this. If they were going to, if they had a nuclear bomb, how would they get it to Israel? They'd have to put it on the end of a missile. So they'd have to have an intercontinental missile, which I don't know if they have that sort of technology. They certainly can't fly it there. Think about that. They don't have the ability to fly a missile to Iran. I mean, to Israel. Guess who does, though, that's being pissed off more and more every day? Pakistan, who's neighbors with Iran. And Iran is surrounded by, and you heard Ron Paul. Ron Paul was talking about that. What year do you think that was, Aaron, that debate? So Mitt Romney was running for president. So what, maybe 2011-ish? Yeah. So you have 2011-ish. He was weeks away then, too.
Yeah.
They were all talking about bombing Iran then. Why hasn't Iran done it then? Why is it that we're willing to bomb Iran but not Russia? Because Iran can't defend itself? Yeah. If all of these people, because they're mullahs and they're Muslims, and believe me, you won't find anybody more anti-Muslim than me, but so is Pakistan. They have nuclear weapons. I mean, allegedly Putin's this great adversary and nobody bombs him. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And it's the same old rhetoric. But anyway, Trump's ratings going through the roof. And by the way, I'm glad they are. He's great. He's a great president. I think he's blowing it here. I think he could actually blow the midterms in this right here. I think he's putting it all in line. But here's the strange thing about Trump, and that's why I want to tell people like Dave Smith. Once you go out and you say that crap, Donald Trump has a very strange way of turning things around. Seriously. And even if he bombs Iran, gets the bunker busters out, drops them from planes. There's also satellite bunker busters that people don't really know much about. But anyway, if he does those things and that happens, okay, and I'm totally against it. I don't like that we've got, you know, two squadrons, you know, going over there, carrier groups going over there and all that stuff. And again, regardless of whether or not Iran gets a nuclear weapon, okay, you go every single body of water, Mediterranean, Persian Gulf, anything you want around there is a Russian sub with nuclear warheads that have hypersonic technology. What's the point? What's the point of bombing Iran? Russia's right there. Jerusalem is literally 2 minutes away from being vaporized. So what's the point of bombing Iran when Russia can do it? And Pakistan's technology is right there with Israel's. So what's the point of bombing Iran when you ever see Aaron put up the maps last night, how close Pakistan is? And they do have the missile technology and they can easily reach Israel. And they can reach the United States, by the way, also. And they're no threat. We're not bombing Pakistan or India. There it is. I mean, there is the region right there. Just take a look at it. See Pakistan versus Israel? I mean, it's right there. I mean, there's no point. See, go to all of those bodies of water. See, I mean, most of it's water. There's Russian sub at every last one of these with hypersonic. And by the way, the most advanced Navy on the planet is the Chinese Navy. And they're there too with nuclear weapons. So, I mean, and by the way, chances are Iran has already had a nuclear weapon for a long time and has chosen not to use it. So why bomb them into oblivion now? What's the point? If there's nuclear war, it's over. And now Russia has backed out of its support for Iran. People are claiming that to be a victory, which, by the way, I am too. And it's a Trump victory. But the only reason why they are is because they're tied up in a war with Ukraine. So that's why they bailed out. But who has not bailed out? China has said they will come. They will come to Iran's aid. Pakistan has said the same. Now, does China ever do what it says? Yes. I.e. Korean War. Did China bring its own troops into the Korean War against Americans? Yes. By the hundreds of thousands, folks. Basically, you know, turned that war around, turned it into the stalemate that it became. And we're like, American military can beat anything? No, we can't. First of all, we only have 1 million soldiers. We have 1 million soldiers. How many I don't know what China has. I know they've got 1.4 billion people live in their country. We had 12 million in World War II, and we're gonna go on a war with three fronts right now because this is also emboldening China to surround Taiwan again. They haven't, but it's emboldening them to do so. Because how with 1 million soldiers are we gonna fight a three front war? Because everybody's forgot about Ukraine right now. All right, so let's get into Israel a little bit. Like, Tom, you've already been in there. I'm going to try to do it quick. Here we go. Trump privately approved attack plans from national security for Iran, but has withheld final orders. So, yeah, this is the United States attack plans, the bunker busters. The president is hoping that threatening to join Israel's strikes will lead Tehran to abandon its nuclear plan. Now, this is what I'm talking about. This is how Trump turns things around. Am I saying he's going to? No. But am I a fatalist? No. I'm just waiting and seeing. I don't know what he's going to do. Trump, is this a tariff kind of thing? Trump says, you know what? I'm going to put 150% tariffs on you. I got the bunker busters lined up. I've got the carrier groups in the various locations ready to rock and roll, ready to drop these bunker busters. We can also drop them from satellite. We're using satellite technology. But am I going to do it? This is what Trump does. Am I saying he's not going to do it? No. But you have Israel right now, and everyone's tracking the Mullah's flight. Have you noticed that on social media? They're tracking the Mullah's flight as they, I'm assuming, flying to D.C. because Trump has at least semi-approved them meeting at the White House. Is that Trump's plan? And then everybody who turns on him completely is like, he's an idiot. Well, you know, he's turned his back on us. Then he turns it all around. We win the midterms, and we have a great economy and lowers the deficit. I mean, that could all happen. If there's anybody that can do it, it's Donald Trump. And listen, you need to understand something. Again, I'm not saying this to prove that I'm not. I'm not a sycophant. Some of the sycophantical stuff around Trump actually drives me a little crazy. Like when you have their cabinet meetings and everyone's just sitting there, I want to be grosser than I want to be right now. Or sitting there just licking his boots. Okay, I'm like, guys, I mean, I don't like any of that crap. I mean, you know, Mr. President, as the greatest president of all time, I just wanted to tell you what the Department of Defense is doing today. Mr. President, you are the greatest president of all time, greater than all these and this and that. I want to tell you what DHS is doing today. I hate that crap. I hate it. I hope Trump doesn't like it. But anyway, so president hoping that threatening to join Israeli strikes will lead Tehran to abandon its nuclear program. Hopefully that's the case. If anybody can pull it off, It is Donald Trump. Go to the next one, we will. All right, Jack Posobiec. But here's the problem. Regime change, recent scoreboard. Now, everyone notice, who was it that wanted us to go into all of these wars? The only ones missing are Somalia and Sudan. That would be Benjamin Netanyahu. And they're only weeks away, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Here's the regime change. Well, Iraq is now chaos, death, and Sharia took power. Sir, that's what you fought for. Great. Yeah, right. Your friends died over there, risked your life. That's what it's for. So chaos, death of Americans and many others, $7 trillion worth of debt, $3 trillion in that country alone. And Shia took power. So the Shiites took power. Isn't that great? And who else has power? Who else is Shiite that has power? That would be the Iranians. So now you've made basically a uniparty state between Iraq and Iran.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good idea. Isn't that great? And by the way, who is funding modern day Iraq? Iran. Just so you know. Great idea, wasn't it? And that's what Benjamin Netanyahu said. But don't worry, Aaron, because Benjamin Netanyahu said that once you conquer Iraq, it will bring stability to the area.
Of course.
Yeah. So, and if Benjamin Netanyahu says it.
Well, I mean, well, if Benjamin
says it, then it has to be true.
Yeah, of course.
And then you have Syria. Benjamin Netanyahu wanted invaded. Now you have refugees flooding all over Europe, and ISIS controls them. Then you have Afghanistan, where we were told, you know what, let's go and invade Afghanistan because Osama bin Laden orchestrated the 9/11 hijackings. Okay. So let's invade Afghanistan, of which Russia couldn't conquer them either. Problem is that, of course, our military could have won it, but we chose not to, of course, because if we win the war, then there's no more money going to the military industrial complex and all of their NGOs and Democrats and neocon rhinos. So we went into Afghanistan. Taliban actually won. We lost $86 billion worth of high-tech American military equipment when we did our exodus, abandoned Bagram Air Force Base, and caused hundreds of people in that week to die, thousands and thousands to die before, during, and after our evacuation. And they got all of our equipment. Libya. So then we had, of course, the glorious Benghazi incident orchestrated by Hillary Clinton, run by Hillary Clinton, absolute disaster. And now that this is way undershot by Jack Posobiec. Basically, they're in a civil war and their refugees are flooding Europe. But Benjamin swore. And Aaron, remember, Benjamin said it.
Oh, yeah.
If Benjamin says it. Benjamin said, once you take out Gaddafi, Libya is going to become this utopia where Will and Aaron and I can go fly there for a vacation. Let's go fly there and go to Libya, man. That'd be great. That hasn't happened. Ukraine, we were all promised that was going to be, I mean, you know what? You support Ukraine? We're gonna drain the life out of Russia? Well, now it's a massive war with about 5,000 people dying per week. And 3 years in. Slava Ukraine. Aaron sent me, Israel has not sent combat troops to fight alongside. Oh, yeah, that's right. I just saw that the other night. Leave that up. Israel pushes for us to get into all these conflicts. Will, how many Israeli soldiers did you fight with in Iraq?
None.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so Israel has not sent combat troops to fight alongside U.S. forces in the war conflicts in Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, Sudan, or Somalia, but urged us to go fight all those wars. So all those dead Americans, Black Hawk Down, Somalia, all of that. Hmm. Thousands upon thousands of dead American soldiers. For what? But, oh, at least our national debt got eradicated by all the oil, free oil we got from Iraq. Didn't get that. Nothing. We got absolutely nothing. We got this going up. What, $5 billion away from $37 trillion. There we are, $5 billion away, from $37 trillion. Watch it right now, and you'll see in the next 19 seconds, we're going to spend another $1 million. And by the way, one of the things, as we watch it go, and I'll make sure I say it, one of the things that Ted Cruz said during his Tucker Carlson interview was how much we send to Israel. Bam, we just spent another million. Every 19 seconds. And now we're going to go and fight another war. That's a great idea with this. By the way, how can we afford to fight another war? I'm just curious. How are we going to do it? Oh, we're going to print more money to do it. And what does that cause? Hyperinflation. So what did you leave this up, Aaron? I like it. I like the background. So Ted Cruz, Mr. COVID resistance, who's fully vaxxed, masked, social distance, closed down, went home, stayed safe, locked down. But he was anti-COVID the whole time, lying sack of worthless crap. He refused to endorse Donald Trump at the RNC, if anybody remembers that. But anyway, one of the things they said in his interview was, how much do we send to Israel every year? $3 billion. Now, first of all, does anybody even question that? Because Israel is mega rich. Why is it that we send them $3 billion and they don't have the debts and deficits that we have? Matter of fact, they don't have any. And we're sending them $3 billion. Why? Israel is mega rich. I'm talking about mega rich. Why do they need our $3 billion? And then Tucker pressed him and said, well, how much has this war cost us so far? Well, Ted Cruz, of course, couldn't answer because Ted Cruz is just a simplistic moron. You're like, no, Tom, he's got a high IQ. Yeah, he was on the like world champion, whatever, college champion debate team. But that's just repeated rhetoric. He goes in there. You better know something when you go in there and you're going to be interviewed by Tucker Carlson. You're going to debate Tucker Carlson because he's going to ask you for factual data to back up your viewpoints, to back up your stances. If you ask me why it is that I follow Jesus, and you can ask my friends in this room, I can go right now on 100 scripture tirade about why I follow Jesus.
Yep.
Not, well, because he's the Savior, and that's it. I don't do that. I actually have an understanding of why it is I follow Jesus. So we give them $3 billion a year for what? I don't know. Because they could certainly buy it all from us. They certainly have the ability to buy it all from us. That's not a Jew thing either. It's like Ted Cruz did that, too. It started attacking Tucker, saying, you said the Jews, and Tucker never used the word Jew, ever, ever. Not one time did he use the word Jew. It's just a simplistic, simple mind, a simple believeth everything, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Proverbs 14:15. But anyway, so we send him $3 billion a year, but he goes, yeah, but how much does it cost us to defend them? How much have we spent so far? Because we're shooting down a large portion of the missiles coming in from Iran now because Iron Dome is like run out. So we're right off the coast. We're shooting them down. How much does each one of those missiles cost? I don't know. Thousands upon tens of thousands each, and we're sending out hundreds of them a night. How much does it cost to pay our entire military to go over there? How much does it cost in food and fuel and armaments? Because and being rearmed every day. How much? So it's far more. It's billions, and over time, hundreds of billions and probably trillions. And if you add up, how okay, we sent $3 billion, but then we go and fight in Iraq, and that's $3 trillion. And we don't need to go into any war based on the prognostications and the recommendations of somebody with a vested interest in us going and fighting it. You need to go and say, well, how does it benefit the United States of America? And by the way, I am totally and completely in favor of defending Israel if they are in need of defense, 100%, but not going and starting wars on their behalf. And by the way, that's where Trump stands. But for some reason, he's been sucked in by they're weeks away. They're weeks away. He's saying it. He's parroting it. And he's gone from the first week, the first cut day was made sure that Marco Rubio put out communications. This is a unilateral attack from Israel onto Iran. And now it's we are doing this and we have secured the skies. And Ted Cruz is saying we. That's what things have changed. Awfully quickly, and they shouldn't have. All right, let's go to the next one. Here is Marco Rubio, Rapid Response 47, Rubio on Iran. Play for me.
When you say 60, that's misleading when people hear that number because they think 60% enrichment, 90% is what you need for a weapon. Actually, 90% of the work it takes to get to weapons-grade enrichment is getting to 60. Once you're at 60, you're 90% of the way there. You are, in essence, a threshold nuclear weapon state, which is what Iran basically has become. They are at the threshold of a nuclear weapon. If they decided to do so, they could do so very quickly. If they stockpile enough of that 60% enriched, they could very quickly turn it into 90 and weaponize it. That's the danger we face right now. That's the urgency here. That's why Israel feels urgency about it, and that's why we feel urgency about it, but not just us. Throughout the Gulf region, no country in the region wants Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And you also talk about not just the weapon. They have long-range missiles that they can deliver those weapons to. This is a very grave risk. And they are enriching at that level, and they're openly doing it, by the way. In fact, their Congress, their legislative branch, actually passed a law requiring them to enrich at a certain level because JCPOA, the Obama deal with Iran, was canceled. So this is a critical moment. The president has made it a priority, and now people understand the urgency here because they are fairly close, too close for comfort to a nuclear weapon. We have to roll that back one way or another, and we hope it's peacefully and through the process of negotiation.
They're really close. They're really close. It's all the same. I mean, every time, weapons of mass destruction, they're really close. Marco comes out and parrots it. Aaron, you are so smart. Here it is. I mean, I just want to show you two. And by the way, you can now backtrack this all the way to 1984. There it is. There they are. I mean, just blow it up for me again, Aaron. I can't resist it. It's like that list of Army Corps of Engineer hospitals that never saw one patient during COVID. I mean, there it is. I mean, you just pull up that part. That's good. Yeah, they're 1992. Look at it. 3 to 5 years away, 3 to 5 years away, 3 to 5 years away, 1 to 2 years away, 1 to 3 years away, 1 to 2 years away, 1 to 3 years away, 1 to 2 years away, 1 year away, 1 to 2 years away, 1 year away. Go ahead. Bring it up. There you go. All the way up to 211. 2011, yeah, right there. Good, perfect, right there. All right, so 2011, 1 to 2 years away, 6 to 12 months away. Must have really wanted a war then. One year away, month to a year away, weeks to a month's a year, months away, weeks to months away, days to weeks away. And if they are enriching at that level, at the 90% level, 60 to 90% level, then they already have one. Then people will be like, well, that definitively proves that we should bomb them. No, Aaron brought up a valid point. No, it makes them a Putin. Putin showed way more restraint. I mean, remember, it was supposed to be, if we allow them into Ukraine, the next move is into Poland. Yeah. Oh, really? 3 years later, no Poland.
Yeah.
Next time he goes into the rest of Europe, he's going to go into Hungary. 3 years later, no Hungary. Matter of fact, 3 years later, he's no longer even defending Iran.
Yeah,
but at any minute, Putin's going to let him off the chain. He was the great threat. Now it's shifted, you know, magically to Iran. All because it feeds somebody's wallet. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. This is all about money. a continuous flow of money into government and non-government entities. All right, let's go to the next one. The Spectator Index breaking Iranian state media claims there will be a surprise tonight. How many of you believe that? Let's all believe in the surprise, too. Weeks away and surprises. There's not going to be any surprise tonight. And anybody who would actually put that out shows you they're not even worthy of being invaded. They're too stupid to be invaded. Honestly, I mean, they're not even, it would be like you saying, you know what? You know, Will challenging his son to full contact football. His son's a big kid and he's getting bigger every day, but he's definitely not up to his dad's level yet. So there's really no point in playing the game. If you have to put out, if you are so strategically impotent that you put out a warning that tonight a big surprise is coming. And by the way, if a big surprise comes out, I'll get on the podcast. Aaron's checking these things now. If there's a big surprise, I'll come out tomorrow and tell you I was wrong. There you go. All right, let's go to election fraud. Let's get off of this. Got a couple minutes. All right, the FBI Director Kash Patel. Again, have I been a big fan of Kash Patel since he's been FBI Director? No. And was I excited about him being FBI Director? Very. Very excited. I played the videos with Enter Sandman as he's going in to be like sworn in. I mean, I thought it was all going to burn to the ground. And it has it? No. It's like that. It's like that limp-wristed Titanic music that we play.
On the recorder.
It's just not been what I've thought.
Yeah.
But things can turn around, and that's the thing with Trump. Things can turn around. That's why you don't just jump off the Trump train. I've done it before. I've been all so mad at Trump and said stuff, and I'm like, "That's it." Aaron knows that too because he sees me do that with the church once a year. That's it. I'm done. You know, whatever. But no, you don't. So I'm doing the same thing with Kash Patel because I know that Kash Patel is a good person. And I know that Dan Bongino is a good person. But is somebody have some sort of leverage over them? Not Epstein kind of leverage, just political leverage. All right, FBI Director Kash Patel. The FBI has located documents which detail alarming allegations related to the 2020 U.S. election. This is so good. You don't let it go. If you let it go, they're going to do it again. Election, including allegations of interference by the CCP. I have immediately declassified the material and turned the documents over, so things have changed. Would everybody agree? Aaron, have we got the Epstein flight logs yet?
No.
Okay, so that's not good. This is good. Why we haven't got the Epstein stuff is because it will affect, somehow or another, important politicians to Donald J. Trump. That's why. Not saying that anybody was diddling kids. I'm saying that, well, nobody wants to open up the Epstein files and see their name on it. So Trump is like, let's just not. That's my opinion. Not because he committed any crimes. He's the only one who actually, by the people who were prosecuting Jeffrey Epstein, he was the only one who was an actually good witness against Epstein was Donald Trump. And the only cooperative one and the only one who didn't have an attorney sitting there while he was talking to them. And he's the one who kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago because of his inappropriate behavior and never had contact with him again. Unlike Bill Gates and Harvard, where he had an office until 2019. I have immediately declassified the material and turned the documents over to the chairman, Grassley, for further interviews. Bottom, just the news from John Solomon. FBI gives Congress intel on alleged Chinese plot to create fake mail-in ballots in 2020. Hey, Aaron, I'm sure there's lots of tweets out right now of everybody apologizing for calling us election deniers.
Oh, of course.
I'm sure they're coming out, right? And all. And I bet you right now that YouTube is reinstating my account right now because I was banned for ivermectin, but I would have been banned for claiming that the 2020 election was a fraudulent election.
We got strikes.
We are pretty much removed. I mean, if you claimed any sort of election interference, election fraud, that the 2020 election was basically a coup d'etat, you were removed. It's just an opinion. And by the way, if I defame them, they could always sue me. But anyway, as we see, Mike Lindell has just won his lawsuit against Chris Krumer or whatever his stupid name is. All right, Real America's Voice video. FBI bombshell Kash Patel gives Congress intel on alleged Chinese plot in 2020. The Biden administration, Christopher Wray, FBI, they simply covered this up. John Solomon reports it was a bold-faced lie. Was it not, Steve Bannon? Play for me.
Tell the audience what Kash delivered last night. And what the reality is here, because this is about as jaw-dropping as you can get, sir.
Yeah, let's set the stage. Let's remind everybody that in December of 2020, 60 Minutes aired a piece with the head of the Homeland Security Cybersecurity Division saying there were no foreign intrusions in the 2020 election. It was a perfectly clean election, he said. I think it was Chris Krebs was his name. We now know that to have been a false proclamation. First, we know a year later in 21, a bunch of Iranians were indicted in Manhattan on charges that they interfered in the election and hacked into a state database to obtain voter IDs and use them in a mal-influence operation against the American election. Now we know there was a second country that was more deeply involved in meddling into the election. The FBI in August 2020, so 3.5 months before the votes were cast that put Joe Biden in the presidency, that FBI believed that China had begun a mass operation to produce fake U.S. driver's licenses, move them to the United States, and have Chinese citizens here on our soil, both legally and illegally, go out and get fake mail-in ballots and vote to try to elect Joe Biden. By the way, the FBI intelligence says this Chinese operation, from a Chinese intelligence source that the FBI was handling, was designed to help Joe Biden beat Donald Trump. It's very important. That was the intention. The intelligence was strong enough to send out to all of the intelligence agencies, and then a few days later, it was called back on the auspices that they wanted to re-interview the source. Now, the source was re-interviewed a second time, stuck to his story. In the meantime, the Customs and Border Patrol, Border Protection Agency, intercepted 20,000 of these fake driver's IDs, essentially corroborating the intelligence. But the Biden administration, the Chris Wray FBI, they simply covered this up. And for 5 years, we were kept in the dark until this intelligence document was sent last night to Chuck Grassley from Cash Patel.
No. We weren't kept in the dark, brother. You went after this.
That's true.
It was a bald-faced lie, was it not? They lied about this and covered it up.
Yeah.
They were lied.
That's right.
Yeah,
you're
right. I just want to make sure I get that, because you went after this. Yeah. We were called nutcases, kooks, conspiracy theorists, under every bed. We got a Chinese Communist Party member, all of that, right? And it turns out we were 100% accurate about directionally, we knew something was up there. Is that essentially what the story is this morning?
Yeah, there's another very important thing to keep in mind with this. This intelligence shows that China saw mail-in ballots as an enormous vulnerability during the COVID-19 pandemic. Our enemies look for weaknesses, not for strengths. They don't look for the hardest thing to do. They look for the easiest thing to do to us. That is a warning sign. Now, lots has happened since 2020, and with all of the voter ID and other things, we've tightened up laws in several states. And where we've tightened up the laws in the states, people vote more because they have greater confidence in the system. But China saw this as an exploitable operation, and I think that should concern all of us. And in any state that doesn't have their mail-in voting to the proximal best security measures, there's a foreign enemy looking to exploit it right now. That's what these documents show.
So the intel was saying back during the 2020 election that the CCP had basically initiated a program of getting a bunch of fake IDs, fake driver's licenses for their operatives in the United States, or just printing them up so that, because back then, of course, Chris Krebs from CISA said this is the most secure election in history. But anyway, so China had this operation going on where, and please understand, They did find 20,000 of these, but that was just what they did intercept. And you don't need an actual person to even get an ID, because this was the first mass mail-in election in the United States history. So you didn't even, and by the way, no signature verification, no voter ID needed for you to get a mail-in ballot. And by the way, in all the states, of course, that Kamala won, I know that's the 2024 election, but same states in 2020, there was no ID required for you to get any sort of ballot. None. So the CCP had absolutely no obstruction whatsoever. None. So they had this mass operation to elect Joe Biden. And it's so funny to listen to the propaganda from the left that Russia wants to elect a stern, difficult, anti-Russian president like Donald Trump. And they want they want to elect him instead of a limp-wristed liberal. when it's very obvious that Russia only makes its moves when there's a limp-wristed leftist in the Oval Office? Hussein Obama? Joe Biden. When did they take Crimea? Under Obama. When did they invade Ukraine? Under Biden. Neither one of those things would have ever happened under Donald Trump. They would have happened under George W. Bush because that's what Bush wants, to feed his military-industrial complex. But I digress. So anyway, so during this time, you have the CCP actually orchestrating an operation to purchase or create IDs and DLs so that they can get ballots. Not, they don't even need, I want people to understand that they don't need to attach it. Some people are trying to attach it to citizens, or not necessarily Chinese citizens, but there's a lot of illegal Chinese citizens in the United States. Illegal, I don't want to call them citizens, illegal migrants in the United States. Don't even need to attach them. You don't need any of that to get those ballots in those swing states. You don't even need it, especially during the pandemic where nobody could go in person and vote because you could die of a 99.98% survival virus. You could die if you go in there. So this is very easy to orchestrate. So they send it out to the FBI, sends it out to all the intel agencies. And then they take it all back because they want to re-interview their confidential informant. So they do. And he backs up his story and tells the same story again. So I guess, Aaron, that they just said, you know what, it must be true. Now, so we're going to go with it, man. We're going to go and we're going to prosecute it. We're going to shut down the CCP and the PLA. And we're not going to let them interfere in our elections, right? Aaron, side by side that one. This guy right here. We're going to shut it down, right? We're going to shut it down. Because we have the FBI and we're not going to let anybody interfere in our elections unless they're trying to elect Joe Biden.
Right.
And then they actually find 20,000. Remember, Donald Trump lost that election. Lost by 42,000 votes. That's what he lost it by. I'm not talking about the popular vote. I'm talking about that's what he lost it by in the swing states. He wins those 42,000. 42,000. He wins 42,000 more votes because that year wasn't big. What was it called? Outvote to steal. Too big to rig. That year, we needed it to be bigger to defeat the fraud, but we didn't do it. We didn't have it. So anyway, some of the laws have changed, as John Solomon said, that enabled us to outvote the cheat, to make it too big to rig in 2024. Still, Donald Trump won basically every state, but maybe four. Again, he doesn't get credit for that, but he did. So anyway, they find 20,000 of these. So then, of course, Christopher Wray launches Operation Crush PLA and the interference in our election. No, they did absolutely nothing. They didn't investigate it. They took it all back again. Did nothing. Did absolutely nothing. One of the most corrupt, soulless, demonic people ever is Christopher Wray. Speaking of that, MJ Truth Ultra video, we told you breaking newly declassified intelligence reports from August 2020 shows China had massive produced fake U.S. driver's licenses to carry out a scheme to hijack the 2020 presidential election with fake mail-in ballots explicitly for Democrat Joe Biden. Explicitly, only for him. The FBI fully dismissed these reports without investigation. None. Found 20,000 of them, still dismissed it. Sent out all this intel to the intel community, then retracted it so they could re-interview their CI, re-interviewed it. He confirmed it. Then they found 20,000 fake CCP-produced United States driver's licenses and still didn't investigate it because it helps Joe Biden. That's how corrupt this country is. In testimony before the House Homeland Security Committee, Christopher Wray primarily highlighted Russia as the most significant threat. He knew this had happened. There's no proof of Russia ever doing anything like this, ever. Russia donated, basically spent $200,000 in the 2016 election, $100,000 on pro-Hillary ads, $100,000 on Donald Trump ads. And to this day, you'll hear Ted Cruz say, "We know that Russia interfered in the 2016 election." Because that's what Ted's supposed to say. So Ted says it, so he still gets invited to the D.C. cocktail circuit. The documents were turned over to Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley. Here's Chris Furey. Play for me.
I don't think we've seen any ongoing efforts to target election infrastructure like we did in 2016. We certainly are seeing and have never stopped seeing, really, since 2016, efforts to engage in malign foreign influence by the Russians. So that's the use of false personas, fake media accounts, social media stuff, the trolls, the bots, all of that stuff that's described at great length, both in the ICA and in some of the indictments that have been returned since then. The efforts to sow divisiveness and discord on both sides of an issue, and to generate controversy and to generate distrust in our democratic institutions and our electoral process, that's very much ongoing. Other countries like China, for example, have very active malign foreign influence efforts in this country. Theirs is a little bit different than the efforts that I was just describing, but it's still very, very active and very serious. It's more geared toward, in their instance, it's more geared towards trying to shift our policy and our public opinion to be more pro-China on a variety of issues. We do know that other adversaries besides Russia are looking very closely at what the Russians have done and taking note of it and giving active consideration as to whether that's a playbook they should adopt.
Russia, Russia, Russia. Chris, what about Christy? What about the 20,000 manufactured, produced fake DLs to get ballots that you found that was orchestrated by the CCP? And that's the 20,000 that you found. There was hundreds of thousands. Were those all the minivans and the vans that we saw? Remember after they had stopped counting in the 2020 election because everybody was too tight and needed to go home. And then you saw all the vans go into these Democratic Party hubs in these Democratic Party controlled cities. And these vans full of ballots, are these ballots, did these ballots come from these Chinese CCP DLs and IDs? Is that where these ballots came from? Many of them only voted for Joe Biden, didn't vote down ballot at all. Were they produced by the CCP? While Christopher A. knew it, turned a blind eye to that treason, which makes him treasonous himself. Is that what happened? Donald Trump lost by 42,000 votes, and they found 20,000 of these. Were there hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them? Were they part of that trailer that was being trailed into Pennsylvania so that those votes could show up in Philadelphia in the middle of the night also after they stopped counting the ballots because everyone's too tired, even though everyone's only working on 24/7, 8-hour shifts like everybody else on the planet? Idiots. Unbelievable. And Russia, Russia, Russia. Listen to this one. The skiff video. Biden's family and CIA took millions from China and the in-depth look on how they stole the 2020 election. Trump's FBI found out that Biden's intelligence agencies were trying to cover it up and destroy the evidence. Play it for me.
I'm shocked. And it takes a lot to shock me.
Yeah.
When this story first broke, I thought that there must be some details about it that are more speculative than you can rely on. But the more I read the piece that you published and saw what Cash submitted to Chuck Grassley, there are several levels of this that are concerning almost beyond belief. So obviously the first family itself was taking millions of dollars from China. The Biden first family through Hunter Biden and China CEFC Energy, China CEFC Energy was taking $5 to $10 million in consulting fees from Chinese energy firms as Hunter Biden was flying on Air Force One to China with Vice President Biden in order to secure those deals. Biden's CIA director, Bill Burns, took millions of dollars from China when he was the head of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace for 7 years before becoming CIA director, taking CCP members and putting them on Carnegie's board, as well as forming a joint Carnegie-China center so that they could cooperate more closely. Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, was the managing director of the Penn Biden Center, which took millions of dollars from China. So all the way up and down the entire foreign policy establishment of the Biden administration, from the White House to the CIA to the State Department, you had millions of dollars being juiced by the Chinese government the entire time. And then the more you think about this story, the more shocking it gets when you think about the massive biggest election censorship event in human history, which was DHS CISA's censorship of the 2020 election, specifically to stop election misinformation, which was all run out of a group that Chris Krebs formed called the Countering Foreign Influence Task Force, which you would think would have been the exact task force at DHS set up to stop something like this and set up to be responsive to something like this, when in fact it did the exact opposite. They told us there was no foreign interference. Now, how does the FBI know this and the CIA know this and the DHS task force, who is responsible for stopping the domestic side of this operation, not be informed? How is it possible that this intelligence was circulated at the FBI and CIA levels, but not at the DHS level? Hmm. And so that is an immediate question for Chris Krebs and Alex Stamos.
Well, we can actually answer the question for you, Mike, too. The document I saw, I actually saw the document and got some of the quotes from it. It was circulated to the Department of Homeland Security in addition to the CIA. So they were, now it doesn't say CISA, it does say DHS, so at least the senior component got it. And when it was called back, they asked all those agencies to destroy it. So it was sent out to Homeland.
Now get this. The DHS censorship operation run out of CISA, together with EIP, this four-group consortium of 120 individual censors monitoring the entire internet across 15 different platforms to censor pro-Trump tweets or anyone who cast doubt on the integrity of the 2020 election. In the slide deck presentations of those censors who were set up by DHS, who got to use CISA's 24/7 cyber mission control to flag tweets, in those presentations, they specifically finger out a specific tweet by Donald Trump on June 22nd, and I'll read it. Rigged 2020 election. This is all caps. Rigged 2020 election. Millions of mail-in ballots will be printed by foreign countries and others. It will be the scandal of our times. Now, DHS's censorship network specifically cited that tweet as one of the reasons they needed to scramble to form this wide-spanning, totalizing censorship operation. And the fact that they specifically were set off by tweets by Donald Trump insinuating that foreign countries may be printing ballots or taking advantage of the mail-in ballot system in the operation that Cash just laid out, that was the triggering tweet among several others to set up this entire censorship operation, while DHS had inside classified knowledge that is exactly what was going down and that Donald Trump was in fact correct. So they set up the censorship operation in part. It would seem to suggest that their knowledge of this at the senior level of DHS or at the Chris Krebs level may have been motivated in part by a desire to keep quiet these various scandals, because as China was backing the entire Biden foreign policy establishment literally and monetarily, the idea that China would be exploiting this would be a massive, massive, massive scandal, especially on the heels of Russiagate, where that entire apparatus used all of that power and abuse of the FBI and Justice Department in order to go after foreign powers interfering in elections. That could have been a scandal that could have tipped the election. So the idea that not only would they censor it at the FBI and CIA level, but that DHS itself could be activated to censor anyone who might suggest that a foreign body like China may be exploiting the mail-in.
So real quick, the players. So you have the Bidens involved, of course. And they received $5 to $10 million for Hunter Biden's consultancy fees from the Chinese, from CEFC. That is what's the app, Aaron? They were sending back and forth Hunter Biden when he's talking about
WhatsApp.
Dad. WhatsApp. The WhatsApp message where Hunter Biden's going, I'm sitting here with my daddy. Remember when he's talking to CFC, and we're waiting for the next $5 million payment from the Chinese, from the CCP-controlled, PLA-controlled CEFC fossil fuel company. So we have that, which, by the way, what did the Bidens do for that fossil fuel company? Absolutely nothing, but receive payoffs from them, bribes from them. Then, of course, you have Bill Burns at the time, Biden's CIA director. He received millions from the CCP as the head of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. So there we have it once again. At 10:18, I can't go through the details that I usually do, but all this country is about, all the United States of America, is forming NGOs to pay people like Bill Burns. That's why we're $37 trillion in debt, is we form little NGOs that aren't little, multi-billion dollar NGOs called, one of them, called Carney Endowment for International Peace, which does nothing for international peace. They're given billions of dollars to pay Democrats to run the organization. So, and then of course, Bill Burns, and you notice how Bill Burns runs the Democratic Party NGO. Then he's the Democratic Party CIA director, back to the Democratic Party NGO. And at the time, he formed a joint Carnegie Endowment China Center. And then he runs the unbiased CIA that is, would never be biased towards China, even though he's running a joint, or ran a joint Carnegie China Center. And then you have Tony Blinken, Secretary of State. Was the managing director of the Penn Biden Center, which took millions from the CCP. And then for some odd reason, the CCP is able to get away with doing all that it did in the 2020 election with no investigation whatsoever. It's DL, driver's license, fake driver's license scam to produce ballots, to receive ballots. By the hundreds of thousands, in my opinion, 20,000 found, but probably produced using fake DLs, hundreds of thousands of ballots that were driven into those election centers in the middle of the night. And then you have the Countering Foreign Intelligence Task Force run by Chrissy Krebs. Remember this? Now, this was during the Trump administration, but Trump didn't realize what the deep state was all about. Chrissy Krebs is probably a registered Republican. Right? Probably Bill Burns probably is too, if I were to guess. So they're registered Republicans. And Chrissy Krebs came out and he said, this is the most secure election in American history. Knowing full well about the Chinese DL scam. How do you know? Well, because CISA is what he ran. Countering, and then under CISA, he ran the Countering Foreign Influence Task Force, which was formed because Trump came out and said this was a corrupt election and the CCP corrupted the election. So in response to that, Chris Krebs, under the Trump administration, forms the Countering Foreign Influence Task Force. Maybe he did it after Trump was out of office. Don't know the timeline. But anyway. But for some reason, this Countering Foreign Influence Task Force never, ever caught the Chinese DL scam, driver's license scam. The FBI knew about it, but CISA didn't, even though CISA is all about that. It's about cybersecurity. That's what it's all, I mean, it's about securing our elections from cyber infiltration. That's what it's all about. That's what CISA is all about. So the FBI told DHS, but somehow, and CISA's under DHS, but CISA didn't know about it at all. Never caught the DL scam. And by the way, after they sent out, remember the FBI sent out the intel, both confirmed and then reconfirmed. They sent it out, retracted it, reconfirmed it, sent it out, retracted it again, did absolutely nothing. And then I can't say they retracted it twice, so I don't know that part. But anyway, when they retracted it, whether they ever sent it back out again or not, I don't know. When they retracted it, they ordered everybody to destroy the intel. So they sent it out and they told everybody, we have to reconfirm it. And then after they did actually reconfirm it, then they found that the 20,000 fake DLs used to get fraudulent ballots, found that, and then told everybody, destroy what we sent you, even though they confirmed that what they sent them was true. Does all this make sense so far?
Yep.
The document was actually ordered destroyed when they called it back. So then you have the DHS, which is CISA under Chris Krebs. They formed the Counter Foreign Intelligence Task Force. Why did they form it? To flag tweets. And remember, at that time, it was a Jack Dorsey Twitter. Nobody gives a crap about Twitter then, except for people like me. But that was, they formed a government agency task force simply to flag tweets primarily put out by Donald Trump. So Donald Trump put out a tweet warning that there was foreign CCP ballot interference in our election. So what did what happened at, when they saw that tweet? That's when they formed the task force. So the task force was to counter foreign intelligence influence, right? But what did they do? They didn't counter the actual foreign interference. They countered the people who said there was. They countered Donald Trump, the president of the United States. That's who they countered. That's who they sequestered. That's who they suppressed. Not the foreign interference, the one reporting the foreign interference. It's like a woman reporting a rape and she goes to prison, which is exactly what happens in England. That's what the government's all about. And you see just another NGO involved, the Carney Endowment for International Peace, that you and I pay hundreds of billions of dollars for, I'm sure, over the years. All right, 1024, that's it. Any rants tonight? All right, Rumble Rant. Nate Dad won $50. Thank you so much. Thank you to everybody in the chat. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, as always. God bless you. Love each and every one of you.